post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network, and it's great to be back in the show. And with me tonight is Paddy Bordier. How are you, Paddy?
Hey, I'm very well, and all the better for having you back, Eamon. It's good to see you in the seat.
Paddy, it's great to be in the seat, and alongside Paddy is Aaron Walker, our A-League expert. Welcome.
I'm not about that. How are you, Aaron?
I'm still full of blimey, mate. We're going to talk Socceroos tonight. Of course, we've got a new coach. A-League is upon us. It's round two already, and we've got the news, the quiz, and much more. You can get us on the email. Tell us what you think. flanagan.eamon@gmail.com. Catch the podcast on the blog, www.nearpost.blogspot.com, and on iTunes, and on halftimeheroes.com.au, and of course, we're streamed on 2xxfm.org.au. Dedicate the show every week, and this week we're going to dedicate it to a young Australian. It's a bit of a theme this week.
A young Australian.
Yes, because Paddy, I know you're into young Australians.
And hell yeah, I'm into young Australians. That's right, no, Eamon.
I should correct that. Sorry, young male Australians. And we're going to.
No, thank you. That's a much better correction.
Thank you. And and also, yeah, so this week we're going to dedicate it to Chris Payne, a man who was forced out maybe by Sydney FC, certainly didn't get much game time, scored a game in the semi, but that wasn't good enough, and now he's walking all over the A-League, scored one and created two absolute humdingers on the weekend, and I think you'd say that second, the pass for the second goal, I am still dreaming about that. And young Aussie boy played a wonderful pass, and if you haven't seen it, have a look at it. So well done, Chris. And we'll talk more about Chris and his whatever he's been up to in the moment. And the quiz this week for our two experts, who have been practicing hard since I've been away, no doubt.
Practicing, yes.
Yeah. How many countries have been represented in the A-League in the 5 years or five years that it's been going? How many countries have been represented by players in the A-League?
That's a good question.
It is a good question. I thought of it all on my own.
And annoyingly difficult to Google in the next few seconds.
It's impossible to Google in the next few seconds, and I'm not actually going to give you any opportunity. So come on, Paddy. I'll tell you this. I'm a fair man. So
you are a fair man.
To the nearest five.
That's not actually true. To the nearest five.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go for 40.
40. That's not bad, Aaron.
I reckon it's going to be 25. I know the answer is 84 if we were doing the English Premier League. I know that.
84. Right. That is a fantastic bit of information. Can you give me anything on the Japanese J-League while we're talking about
No,
because it's not useful to this question. It is actually 44.
Is that right?
That is the answer. We've had 44 countries representative. And I note that there are only two players from Ireland. I don't know who they are. I don't know whether they count.
That's Terry McFlynn.
Well, I don't know whether you count him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a bit controversial.
And the Southern Irish, I can't remember anybody from Southern Ireland. Anyway, we've got our Adam Hughes, of course, has come back from the Southern Ireland, but that doesn't really count. So, and the second part of the question, because there's always a two-parter.
Always?
First time ever. But name any of the nationalities from Africa that are currently in the A-League. There are currently 5 African nations represented. Go for it.
Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast, yes. We have Eugene Daddy and Adama Traore.
Daddy's not in the A-League anymore.
Has he left the...
He's gone, okay. He's gone. They've still got Traore over at Gold Coast United. Then you've got Atoko, who's at North Queensland Fury.
Yep, so he's from Togo.
Yeah, he's from Togo, and he was actually in the bus that got shot up on the way to the African Nations Cup.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How
about that?
Paddy?
And
trying to think specific players.
Is this right now or historically?
Historically, yeah. I guess.
Nigeria?
Yeah. Nigeria. No, we've never had a Nigerian, but I'm interested in who you think was
from
Nigeria.
Are you sure?
Who was from Nigeria?
NSL. There was a Nigerian who played for Perth Glory.
Oh, you remember the NSL.
Yeah, I remember the NSL.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a real...
It's good because I played against him in indoor football.
You played in the NSL?
As you'd expect, he was quite good. No, against this fellow who was...
Shall we remain nameless?
Nameless, because I don't have his name.
You've also got the guy at Adelaide, whose name I can't remember, is the striker. He's actually English, but he claims to be Ghanaian. I think he's got one catch.
That's right, because he was on the show.
Lloyd Owusu.
And
alongside him, we've had Hamza Mohamed. I'm not sure. I can't even remember where he played or whatever, but he's from Ghana. And also Malik Buari.
Is that all you've got, Eamon? Because I've got more.
You got more? No, I've got more. Well, I've got one more. Who have you got?
Sally.
Well, he's now Aussie, though, I suppose.
Not when he came here.
No.
Okay. We've counted Owusu. Yeah, surely we've got to count some.
Yeah, so Ghana, Ivory Coast, Togo, and, of course, there's two more countries.
I don't know.
No, I've got nothing.
Liberia with Jerry Carpe, and, of course, up at the Fury, the new player on the weekend, is... Eugene Sapir, Ugandan.
The man who starts his name with two S's. Yeah.
Two S's.
You can't trust a man who starts his name with two S's. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah. Two A's on the other hand. Yep. Very trustful.
Fine. Not two S's.
Okay, here's a whole heap of news for you this week. Chris Payne waltzed Fury to victory over the boring and negative Sydney FC. Scott Neville lit up Amy Park as Perth beat the newly named Melbourne No Victory. Ben Kantrowski scored a cracking OG for the Jets, but looks to have finally secured his own position in the midfield as the Heart grabbed or fluked their first point in a 1-1 draw. And there's more. Hold on. Just Oliver Bozanic put in a strong performance in another young Australian who's doing well as the attacking Mariners fought back for a 1-1 draw against Adelaide. And Wellington conceded late to not-so-young Australian Jason Kalina as the Gold Coast drew 3-3 in wicked wet Wellington. Overseas, young Australians everywhere. Tommy Orr made his debut for Utrecht in the Eredivisie at just 18. He played for 3 minutes and he may play at Celtic Park in the Europa League on Thursday our time. Rangers are said to be after AEK Athens' Nathan Burns. Brad Jones off to Liverpool for 3 years. Dani Vukovic has been dropped and sent away, left, dumped, whatever you want, by his Turkish club Konyaspor. His 3-year contract, but he did have a 3-year contract, but he's not getting any money apparently, so this stinks. Who will grab him? Sydney should, or maybe even better, Melbourne should, with Glenn Ross in great form as couldn't save a whale, never mind a goal. Although the money is Wellington Phoenix will take him, so we shall see. Socceroos Carl Valeri is benched for the Coppa Italia, and also Dario Vidicic isn't wanted by FC Nuremberg as the gloom continues. Konbucionis has launched a football coaching app for your iPhone or iPad, so have a check that out on the 442 website. And Hayden Fox has played more games this season than Josip Skoko and John Aloisi. Never sign old man, said Arsene Wenger. Someone should read Soconomics by the book that's currently going around. forget Fozzie's rant in his book. The Soconomics book is certainly well worth the read. I'm halfway through it, so I'll no doubt tell you more about it as we go. And Holger Osiek, pronounced Holger Osiek, according to Holger himself, is the new Socceroos coach. So, I guess with that, I'll say to you boys, Paddy and Aaron, what do you think of the new Socceroos coach?
So Osiek is how we're pronouncing
it? Well, he's calling himself Osiek.
Right.
So I'm all for...
You're going to go with that?
Despite the fact that apparently he's called Osiek in Germany by all the Germans that know him, if he wants to be called Osiek, he'll be forever known as Osiek or various other things, no doubt. But on the show, as he performs, what do you think, Aaron?
Initially, unimpressed.
Why are you unimpressed?
Wait for the rest of it. Initially unimpressed.
Not a word. I understand, but yeah, go.
Initially unimpressed. Then there was rage, you know, just general annoyance that they've picked this guy. But I've come around to him. I've decided to back him. I think he's the one for the Socceroos.
That's fantastic. So
he has a winning... Yep, I've gone from unimpressed to rage of hate.
What was the rage
to
of hate?
Love.
Why did we have rage of hate before we had love?
Because I thought he wasn't a big enough name. He wasn't the man that we needed in this situation.
You wanted more syllables, did you?
Well, syllables aside, I wanted a little bit more sort of a high-profile manager.
Who did you want?
I wanted Bielsa, from the guy who was coaching Chile.
Right.
I wanted a coach very strong with playing young players.
Well, that's Osiek.
Yeah, well, this is it. This is part of it. After my rage died down, I went through his CV a bit more. He's very much a winner.
A winner?
Yeah. He took Canada to the Gold Cup. The Gold Cup, no less.
Fantastic. What year did he do that?
Some time ago.
Well, that'll do for me then. Yeah.
And he won the Asian Champions League. You know, he's... At least one thing I look for when I look for a coach is a coach who has a winning culture and a winning record. And
I just want to point out that we've never won anything, so it doesn't really matter, does it, to us?
Well, we can. We can win the Asian Cup.
Okay, Aaron, so Paddy's gone from, sort of dumbfounded to rage to now love.
Love. I'm going to go with love.
Love. Aaron, you're impressed off talking off air.
Doesn't have the love.
You don't have the love?
Oh, I don't mind. I'm willing to give him a chance. But I've got a couple of questions in the way that he was appointed.
Okay.
The first one was, we saw Hamburger giving some quotes saying that he had Asian experience and this is very important. why is that important? I know when last time around, when we were fresh to the new confederation, it was very important to get some experience from someone who had been around the traps and been to the different countries, knew the pitfalls of staying in, say, a North Korea or eating the food in China or something like that. Someone that knew that kind of stuff, and also the teams. But this time around, now that we've got the back staff with a 4-year, two tournament rotation under their belts, why do we now need a head coach which has experience in Azure? It seems so fundamental to the FFA, yet when Hiddink was first appointed to South Korea, he'd never stepped foot in Asia in football-wise.
I don't think it should have been a selection criteria. I don't think he can offer anything new in Asia that we don't know already.
Why don't we take the best man for the job, regardless of his nationality and regardless to where he's had his coaching experience?
Well, okay, I'll just counter that point by saying I do think we need somebody from the Asian who has Asian knowledge, because Graham Arnold's gone. Obviously, Pimba Bates gone.
But again,
he hasn't travelled across Asia. I mean, I suppose he's done.
He's done very well in Asia. His career's made in Asia.
But again, it comes back to the. Okay, so the other factor is to get one of the big name coaches. I mean, let's face it, we do not have one big name player really. Once the Timmy Cahill has moved on, there's no big name players there at all. And I think a big name coach will only come in and play the team. I think we do need something slightly different, and that's perhaps what Osik might bring. He does have, you know, perhaps more of a youth approach, like I suppose they do in Japan and Korea over the time. Baron,
I got another question.
Yep, go for it.
Beckenbauer is the current only FIFA representative that's going to be voting on the 2022 World Cup, who has publicly supported Australia's bid. He's the only one. Frank Lowy said he spoke to Beckenbauer before making the appointment, and if Beckenbauer says to Frank Lowy, "Well, I recommend you take my old assistant," what choice does Frank Lowy then have?
No chance.
I've heard this theory as well, actually.
That is just bunkum, can I say. There is no way that Frank Lowy has appointed somebody based on the fact that this might get the vote for Australia. There's no way Frank Beckenbauer is going to vote
because
hasn't been in Germany for years. He's been at FIFA doing some technical stuff and he's been in Japan doing whatever. Frank Beckenbauer's not going to vote on that. Surely you wouldn't believe that, would you?
There's connections. I believe that there's a little piece of that. But there's one issue that haven't talked about, which I think is probably the crucial issue, is money. I think this guy came pretty cheap, and I don't think...
They're talking $2 million, the same as Verbeek. I don't know whether that's probably cheap. I mean, you're not going to get an overseas coach to want to live here. You know, someone mentioned Martin O'Neill, someone mentioned...
For any big money.
No, and also I don't think they're going to come when they look at the player list. Most of those guys are...
Roy Hodgson, when we were sourcing him for to become manager, quoted astronomical amount of money for the job. I think
those guys wouldn't live in Australia. And also, those guys aren't going to work with young players. They want your Steven Gerrards, the top players already ready
to
go.
And those guys aren't going
to
come for... a minor tournament. They're going to come for a major tournament along the World Cup lines. Maybe this guy can take us through the Asia Cup. We can see what he's got, and then
he's got a 4-year contract. So even if you decide you don't want him, you're going to have to pay him out.
Yeah, but you won't have to pay him out until close to the World Cup. So his contract will be at least.
I don't think we're going to the next World Cup anyway. I think they need to be thinking that with the quality of the player we've got.
You don't think we're going to the next World
Cup?
There's no chance
of Australia going to the next World Cup.
Have you no heart?
We need to look. Well, of course, I want them to go, but I think you need to look beyond this World Cup. Realistically, there are no players playing in any league other than Brett Holman since 2006 who's come through to what I would call the second tier league in the Eredivisie. There's nobody else. Before we had, the Bosniches, the Zelich, the Ocons, and then we had guys like Skoko and Lazaridis and Vidmos who were playing with Rangers and Birmingham who weren't the main players, but they were the second tier. We've had nobody come through, and there's not a sign of anybody really in the next 3 years stepping up to, maybe only Brett Holman can get cracking in the EPL or a Bundesliga position.
Totally agree. I mean, you look at the 06 generation, which is something of a golden generation. You had Vince Grella, Marco Bresciano performing well in a Serie A team in Parma. A young Brent Emerton was a flyer at Feyenoord, scouted by Manchester United and Sir Alex Ferguson. All these guys were playing in big teams, regularly playing in EPL Serie A standard teams, where these days our best young talent is, getting dropped from, second tier Bundesliga.
I think you're comparing them to the wrong team. You're comparing them. You can't compare them to Australia's golden generation. Compare them to the top five nations in Asia, of which we will be one.
Well,
we can get to that World Cup.
I think if we get through, it's only because Australia has an exceptionally easy qualifying path.
We'll be lucky.
That's possible as well.
We'll be lucky to get through. But
fingers
anyway,
crossed.
We're going to move on. The A-League is all the rage, as they say. On the weekend, Sydney FC went down to North Queensland Fury 2-1. Probably the game of the weekend, what would you say? You've got Wellington Phoenix 3, Gold Coast 3, Newcastle Melbourne Heart 1 each. North Queensland beat Sydney 2-1. Melbourne victory lost to Perth Glory 2-0. Mariners versus Adelaide 1-0. Aaron, you watched all five. Which was your favourite?
I liked the Fury game. I thought it was fantastic. The new coach they've got, Franz Strucker, is doing a fantastic job. So animated on the sidelines. He's really adding something, a bit of spice up there.
He's playing a few young players. And probably I know this is a big issue. You and Hamburger are all into the young players playing. He's playing some young players. Unlike the Melbourne Heart, Arsene Wenger says you get rid of your players at 29. You never sign them at 29. But the Heart have signed a whole heap of older players. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the Fury, who perhaps don't have the money, have gone for a youth policy, perhaps. By default. Interestingly, Chris Payne's getting game time, which he wouldn't be at Sydney. Great for his development. Paddy, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is an area I think I feel quite strongly about. I would like to see more younger players and Australian players coming through the A-League. I think the quota of 5 foreign players is too high. I would like to see that tightened to 3 or 4. See more opportunities. It's just about more opportunities for Australian players. And Chris Payne's a good example. You know, he's found opportunities, and we've found a great performing player in that.
Interestingly, Kofi Dunning couldn't get a game on the weekend. What do you think of the tactics of our man in...
How strange was that?
Vitislav Lavica.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't play Dunning. He
played 2 creative players. So, Nicky Carl behind Brosk. And I don't know who he thought would score the goals.
I think he probably played... Maybe he was psyched out by his fellow coach, because his coach is, you know, the Czech guy who's played with him before. He's animated and maybe just thought...
The much bigger name in Czechoslovakia.
Absolutely,
well.
Because, I mean, he's got Hayden Fox playing football, apparently, with Stephen Keller, the 2 of the slowest
much
guys. And, of course, with Chris Payne, who's not particularly fast, but when you've got Payne and Williams and
Cernak
on the wings, yep. Malik to come in, you've got a lot of youth in there. So he's put in 2 defensive midfielders, a la Spain, I might say, which doesn't go down well
Spain.
With me. Yeah, Fozzie might like Spain as the most attacking team playing football, but I don't think they are. And this notion of playing 2 central defenders or 2 centre midfielders, I mean, it kind of kills the game in an attacking sense. Why didn't he play Dunning? Why did he play Terry McFlynn on the right side of midfield?
Because he's the captain, and McFlynn's got to play somewhere. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have him anywhere near the centre of my midfield. Not when
wouldn't
you've got
you just not have him in the midfield at all, maybe on the bench?
Exactly
I just find it strange that he's continues.
He's the captain, he's been there from day one, so they're not going to bench him.
But surely, you know, you'd play him instead of Ryan Grant and put Dunning out on the right, wouldn't you, if Dunning is up to it?
Yeah, I was really surprised that they didn't take at the tactics that they did use.
So and, for Kofi Dunning, take a leaf out of Dunning's Chris Payne's book. If you're not getting a gig, it's better to move.
Why not?
And play.
You know, look at Newcastle. They've got a lot of really good young players who are playing regularly, and they do very well as a team. Yeah, if I was Kofi Dunning, I'd be looking elsewhere.
Just on the topic of Chris Payne, did you guys know that he went for a trial in Belgium after being released by Sydney and came home with the table 20 leagues before signing?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who in Belgium? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know the team.
Oh. Interesting. Newcastle Jets, Melbourne Heart 1 each. The Jets. Got an absolute crack. I thought it was a really good game. 2 footballing sides, but unlike Fozzie's desire to see teams pass the ball around, I just don't know. A little bit like Spain, that once they pass it around, you actually want to see some ball, some action in the box. And Melbourne Heart, they're passing it nicely, but they're not creating enough. The Newcastle Jets pitch is absolutely desperate. You know, the ball is bobbing everywhere. The Jets are actually looking quite good, but they're not helped by the fact that...
No, they can't play good football on their pitch.
Although Kantorowski, I did watch it about 27 times to see whether it got a bobble, but if you haven't seen the goal that Kantorowski kicked into his own net, I mean, it's fantastic. Maybe he will get us to the World Cup. Who knows?
I'm interested in the striker,
Aaron,
you think?
They're actually playing in midfield. It looks like they've settled on a position for him, and he looks to be sort of a bit more dominant this year.
Minus that one moment, he was sensational match. Yep. He just stopped everything coming through. He's a real ball winner, and then once he wins the ball, he knows what to do with it. As well. I mean, the pass to the goal was absolutely sensational. He won that ball in a 50-50 tackle, then put a beautiful ball through to... I can't remember if he scored the goal, but he set it up very nicely.
I think we should speak quite quietly about Kantorowski, because I'm worried the media will pick him up and hype him as the next big thing.
Well, Jeremy
really,
Rocky scored
honestly,
the goal.
He's a great player.
But I mean,
really
I think last year I thought he went, not backwards, but I thought he struggled because maybe injuries and he was played in loads of different positions. But hopefully if he's got his centre... midfield position. He's at an age now where he's had plenty of experience, and hopefully he can just settle down into position and let's see how he goes. So one to watch there. Melbourne Heart, they've got a draw, but they have got a lot of old players: Dean Heffernan, Colosimo, Sibon, and of course Aloisi and Skoka, who don't play.
Who wasn't? He's who out wasn't 100%.
Well, he's out for a month. He's out for a month, so he won't be 100% for a while. So again, you know,
he might be feeling just fine.
I don't
but
know.
What are Melbourne Heart doing wrong? They've got. They look like they've got such a good team. I'm really surprised at their lack of fight. Who are they playing next week, Eamon?
Melbourne Heart are playing Adelaide on Friday night. Not one to be missed. Friday night football.
I reckon that's a big game.
I love Friday night football from Adelaide. So, yeah, it is a big game for both teams, I think. Also, who else was there? Wellington Phoenix 3, Gold Coast 3. I'll skip past that because it was too wet. Melbourne Victory, Perth Glory. The Victory. Is it possible the biggest club in the A-League has started the season without a striker?
I noticed they just signed a travelling Welsh backpacker who was on Australia on a holiday, and they just picked him up.
Right.
His name's Jeff Calloway.
Jeff Calloway, well, he won't get the fans in. But there is a big news also on the back of that, that they're saying there's going to be a Brazilian released or signed
released.
To play
released.
On Friday.
Released the Brazilian.
Them, I've heard them saying that for months, Eamon.
Yeah, months. But they do say, Ernie Merrick made some snide remarks like he's not worried about the striker issue because he knows something that we don't. So who knows? We'll wait and see.
I like stability in teams, and I don't like to see too many changes, but Melbourne Victory are at a stage where they really need to bring in one, maybe two new players.
Well, I think they've blown it a bit. This time, around about November, they got rid of Danny Alsop and Ney Fabiano. And I'm just wondering whether they ran out of money, because basically their Asian Champions League was the worst campaign we've ever seen, given Archie was injured. And then they've entered this season without a strike force. And, I mean, they went on about Marty Dugandich. Now, he's not a bad player, but he's 22. He's played seven or eight games. You can't rely on him to play centre-forward and win games for you.
Would you believe it? Billy Selesky looks like he's out for another season with his ACL again.
Well, again, there was some talk about that today, Aaron, and they're saying that he's probably going to be okay. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, there was an initial.
Last I saw, it was they were pretty worried about it.
Yeah, okay. So, well, maybe we'll have to follow that one.
I'm very happy to see Perth win in pretty much any circumstances, but I really want to see the two Melbourne teams doing very well. We need them. We need the crowd participation there. We need the crowd numbers.
We've got a great new stadium as well. Yeah. Interesting that, only 20,000, that's great. But normally when there's a new stadium, it drags in a few new fans, but doesn't seem to have done that.
This is not the time for the Melbourne teams to be wobbling. I'd like to tell them to pick their act up.
That's right. Perth Glory, on the other hand, well, they're not wobbling. They're certainly making everybody else wobble. If you saw the game on the weekend, what the hell was the ref doing? Jared Parsons. Jacob Burns and co. were running around kicking the bits out of the place. I mean, to me, I don't know. This guy should have been sent off a few.
Didn't you watch the World
the
Cup
piece.
Final? That's how it's done now.
I didn't like that either. Hey, I mean, Holland were a disgrace, and I think Perth, whilst they might, again, they've got quite an aging team, with Stojoski and Fowler, Jacob Burns.
They brought in that young boy Fowler.
But they were quite physical. They're quite a physical team. So after last week's game, I hate Perth Glory.
I hated
Holland in the World Cup, and I hate Perth Glory. I hate teams that kick players off the pot, because you want to see, and I also hate Jared Parsons. He didn't book anybody, and if you don't book anybody, same in the World Cup final, if you don't book them early, brutal fouls like that, it took a long time before even Grant Bevner got in the book, when he should be booked as he comes out of the tunnel.
That's a lot of hate in your heart there, Eamon. But what I would like to talk about is how good Fowler is for Perth Glory. Specifically for the other players like Stojoski. By playing him, he gets that attention, and it allows players like Stojoski to get some space.
Fowler's particularly good when he's playing against, and this is a big must for all non-Melbourne Victory Kevin Muscat fans. This is the year to watch Kevin Muscat play, because every game he's going to be a little bit slower and a little bit older, and it's going to be great to watch, isn't it? Because he can't stop anybody, he can't get near enough to tackle, and what's he going to do when he loses it? And he's going to lose
and
it.
He will lose
so
it.
So enjoy it. Everyone who's sort of, and let's face it, anyone outside of the Melbourne Victory camp is pretty much anti-Kevin Muscat. Although we have enjoyed him as a footballer over the years, but now it's time for Kevin. He started with the penalty that he missed in the grand final.
And you think that was the beginning of the end?
Well, I think it's the beginning of the beginning for the fans. Everybody but the Melbourne Victory fans.
We'll be on Muscat watch.
I think so. So just check that out. Has he got anything left in the tank? So Perth Glory started well, the top of the league, so good luck to them, and let's see how they go. Although I do like Todd Howard, he's continuing to play well, and also Scott Neville, young guy, seems to be making some strides. Hopefully Billy Selesky isn't out. I was looking forward to seeing him play this year. Central Coast Mariners. The attacking Central Coast Mariners. Can I say that?
Yeah, well, no, you can't.
No, okay.
It's still a bit uncomfortable with it. And well, I really want to see a few more games Arnie's boys.
The number 10 playmaker of the A-League, Nicky Carl, forget him.
Yeah.
The guy Flores, forget him at Adelaide. It's Matt Simon.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what Arnie's gone out and got. But they did attack in the second half, and I thought, yeah, it was good.
They've actually brought in a Argentinian who hasn't played yet, who they've got big raps on. He's meant to be their playmaker. So
well, that's
maybe even better stuff to come.
Really?
Matt Simon's
not going to be
He's not going to get his place, though, the way Matt Simon's putting out results for them as the number 10. So, okay. So are we seeing the demise of Victory and Sydney FC, the two big clubs, supposedly?
I think Sydney are going to struggle. I believe Melbourne Victory can pull it together.
Okay, you think
just got to find those goals, but I don't see the sharpness that Sydney had last season. They had a very long preseason last season.
Look at the players
really
they got rid of, and look at the players they got in. They got rid of Colosmo, who's their rock at the centre back. Didn't replace him. Didn't even try and replace him. Yep. They got rid of Corica, who all the attacks went through.
That's right.
They brought in Carl, who's a good replacement. Not clicking yet.
Thing is with Carl is I don't think he's a great player as everybody talks him up to be. I think he's a very good player, but he's not on form yet.
He was always much better when he was overseas at Crystal Palace, don't you think?
Really, really
but
was.
But no, I think
he
played well in the first game. I really enjoyed watching him in the first game.
I think you're being harsher. I watched him.
Really? I think Carl's yet to prove himself.
For a man who spent 30 minutes raving about young Australian players,
Nicky Carl is not a young Australian player.
No, but he is
player.
A skillful Australian player, and if you don't want him and you don't think he's up to it, well, God.
I'm just saying he's not up to the hype that has been pushed on him, and there's been a lot of hype. You know?
He's right up
Saviour
to it.
Saviour of the Socceroos. Jesse Fink has been wearing Nicky Carl t-shirt for a long time.
Well, okay, so there's one to watch. But he won't make the World Cup, Paddy. It's 4 years away. Hey, we need a few before then. But beyond the next World Cup, that's what we should be building for. I really think so. And that's where Ossie has to do his business. Although, the Aussie public, will they put up with a coach that doesn't get us to the World Cup?
I don't think they will, and nor should they. I believe we'll make the World Cup.
Okay, very quickly, the games of the week are Adelaide versus Melbourne, Hart, Perth versus Newcastle, Brisbane versus Sydney, Wellington versus Central Coast, and Melbourne Victory versus North Queensland. Top of the league, Perth and North Queensland, and the Central Coast on 4 points. Gold Coast, Adelaide, Newcastle all on 2, and Wellington, Brisbane, Sydney, Hart and Victory down the bottom on 1 point. And that's it, guys. Thanks for coming in, Paddy. Thanks, Aaron. If you are out and about doing your thing, and if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there. Get there first. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football.